There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You, Sean Morash, was at Madison Square Garden, and I guess your wife decided to film you in your excitement that you were getting to witness a penalty shot. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is Madison Square Garden last Saturday night. Saturday night?
It was Saturday night. Rangers-Canadians.
Rangers-Canadians Saturday night. Here is Sean Morash's unfiltered reaction to the idea he was going to get to see a penalty shot.
It's the one thing in sports I've never witnessed in person is a penalty shot in real life. Holy shit. I've never seen one, and I'm on an edible.
That explains the excitement.
Yeah, I was having a good night.
I'm on an edible. Here's more of Sean getting to witness this penalty shot.
I've never done this. I don't know what to do. I've seen a no-hitter. I've never seen a penalty shot. Come on, Artemi. Come on.
Now,
a couple beverages.
Was it the edible and the beverages, or as we sit here less than a week later, do you agree that as a sports fan, was like really, really, really awesome?
No, really, really awesome. Now, I'm assuming my wife picked up the phone to film me because she knew I was in a good vibes mode.
Good job by Mrs. Morash. Yeah.
Well, that was the first Ranger game I had taken her to, I'm not kidding, in like 15 years. So, we were having a good night, a fun night, and I think she just saw me, light up, and that's why she started filming. But, no, that was genuine excitement. I still get really, really geeked out about, sports is pageantry.
No, dude, I am not mocking that.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm curious about upon hearing your excitement is I started thinking, and this is a game I was playing in my head this morning when I heard these clips, and that is, what is the equivalent in every other sport? And how exciting would it actually be to see? A penalty shot in hockey is rare.
Yes.
I cannot dispute that. I haven't seen one in person.
Never. And I've been to a million hockey games. Never.
So in baseball, you mentioned the no-hitter. Mm-hmm. The no-hitter to me is very different because that's over the course of a 3-hour game.
Correct.
It builds, it's slow, you have time to register, and then it either happens or it doesn't happen. I would put that on another level. The penalty shot, though, is something that it just happens. So I guess the equivalent in baseball would be the inside the park home run.
Oh, that's a good one.
What else would it be? A triple play.
I've seen a triple play at Shea Stadium. So I've seen that. And I thought that was really cool in real time. But the inside the park home run's a good
Which one's cooler? Inside the parker, triple play, or is another one I'm missing?
The cycle? I feel like that's the most rarest thing you could see at a sporting event, period.
So I don't disagree that it isn't rare. I guess, much like the no-hitter, there's a build to it. Like, you have to see a single. You have to see a double. You have to see a triple.
But aren't you on the edge of your seat for that last one when you know they have three?
1,000%. Exactly. But those other things, like, they just happen, and they happen out of nowhere.
Okay.
Like, the penalty shot happened out of nowhere. Inside the park home obviously happened out of nowhere.
Triple play.
Same thing with a triple play. So I'm not saying you're wrong about the cycle and how rare it is or the no-hitter, but there's a build to it.
Then I would go inside the park home run.
Over triple play?
Yes.
Have you been in the ballpark for either?
Yes, I have.
Which one? Both?
The Nationals had one of the last Saturdays of the year. That game where the Mets just couldn't push through.
Yes, McClain it was started. A game-winning. Didn't Jose Siri kick it?
I forgot if Siri kicked it or not.
It was like in the 10th inning,
it was that
it?
Fellow that had a really good series against us. He was a scrappy player for the Nationals.
That fellow.
I forgot
fellow.
His name, but he hit a P to like center field and he rounded
I feel it. Like the inside the park home run, now that we're talking about it, is a lot more common than the triple play. The triple play is like...
The triple play is crazy.
Have you ever
seen the triple play?
I have seen... I got two that jump out at me. I may have seen more, but two, 1,000%. One was against the Giants.
That was the one I was at.
The 5-4-3 double play with Barry Bonds out at home plate.
Yeah, that was either Irish Heritage Night or Italian Heritage Night. I got the Met hat from that.
Makes sense. Mets-Giants. The other one that I will never forget, and this is probably the equivalent to what you did, the freak out.
Okay.
Unassisted triple play to end the game.
Holy
Mets,
crap.
Mets-Phillies, Jeff Francoeur, Eric Bruntlett.
Yeah,
like, I'll never forget that.
I would have lost my mind.
And, well, here's the weird part. It was against the Mets, and it ended the game.
That's a tough one.
It wasn't like...
But doesn't it make you leave the building like, okay, we lost, but I saw something cool?
I left the building. I'll never forget who I was with. I was with Adam Eaton, you know, whatever his last name is.
Yep.
Dear friend of mine. And I remember leaving the building saying, holy crap, like over and over again. I was actually very similar to that video that your wife took.
Yeah.
I wasn't excited. It was more like, holy crap. Wow. Can you believe an unassisted triple play? That would be the equivalent.
But isn't that why we go to sport? First of all, we want to have camaraderie. We want to root for our teams. But if you could leave a building seeing something unique, I mean, isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, I guess. I want to see my team win, but I get it.
I've seen a goalie score in hockey. I thought that was really cool.
The goalie scoring in hockey.
Jose Theodore, Nassau Coliseum years ago.
Yeah. I mean, but it's the end of the game because the goalie's pulled.
I don't know. But think about it. That's your lasting memory, like the unassisted triple play to end the game.
What is the equivalent in basketball?
Basketball, it's got to be some kind of crazy point amount, right?
I don't think so anymore. I think it used to be, but now guys score 50 all the time. Triple doubles, no big deal. Is it a half-court shot?
I was going to say like a full-court heave.
Yeah, buzzer beater.
That would be the one.
Does it have to be a buzzer beater that's also half-court?
No, I think, look, buzzer beater, you mean to win a game?
Yeah.
It happens. I think because that's like a walk-off. I would almost say a full-court shot at the end of a quarter or a half.
Yep. Agreed.
Because it is very, very rare.
That'll get the biggest pop of the night if somebody hits it from half court to end the half.
100%.
Yeah.
I think that would be the equivalent. In football.
The fair catch, free kick.
Yes! Yes!
Which hasn't happened since like 1977,
no,
I think.
Cameron Dicker, 4 years ago.
Oh, that's right.
Cameron, the fair catch free kick is one of the weirdest freaking things in the world.
And it's such a bizarre rule.
Bro, it's so funny you say that, Connor. I don't know why I got into this rabbit hole like 5 days ago, but I got into a rabbit hole about fair catch free kicks. I have no idea why. It may have shown up on my timeline randomly. And so I started Googling how many have there been. And the internet basically told me, we can't count them before 1960 because they all go down as field goals. So we don't know the difference between a regular field goal and a fair catch free kick. But I know that recently there was one with Cameron Dicker. And then I looked at how many times it happened in the postseason. And it was only like two or three times. But one of them was in the Loser Bowl, the old game in the mid-60s where the loser of the championship games would play each other. They would call it the Playoff Bowl, but Vince Lombardi nicknamed it the Loser Bowl.
What a weird thing. And for that to happen in that game.
Yeah.
Don't you think we should see more of those with the long range of kickers growing up?
Yes. Yeah, I think we should. But is it that exciting? Like, it is rare, Connor. You nailed it. And it's weird. And it's unique. But when you think about it, is it that exciting? It's a guy kicking a field goal with nobody rushing.
Yeah, it's just weird. So is it the 99-yard touchdown?
Are you just trying to be a jerk right now?
No, I know it's on our mind for something we talked about in the break, but that's rare.
Victor Cruz is still running.
You brought up exciting. seeing a guy score from 99 yards is exciting.
Yeah, I would think a 100-yard or 99-yard return or pick six or just touchdown run or anything that's 100 yards would be kind of cool.
I think what we've learned is baseball and hockey, I think, live themselves up to more uniqueness than the other sports.
I agree with you because I think in basketball, like, it really is just the full court shot. Like, that with a half court shot. Like, a unique heave would really be the only thing. You want to tell me a crazy dunk? I don't know.
Mitchell Robinson hitting a free throw? That always gets a large reaction. How about in football, blocked kick and a lineman runs it back for a touchdown?
Everybody, the fat guy touchdown?
The fat guy touchdown, but not just like a two-yard pass where he's running 60 yards.
You know what? That is unique and funny, but I got one that I think is more unique in terms of when do we ever see it. And I don't know how often this has happened. We can Google it. A team goes for two. And it's returned where the other team gets the points.
The one-point safety? I don't think that's ever happened in the history of the league.
It's never happened?
I don't think I'll double-check.
I think it has.
Oh, it's definitely had.
It's happened in college. Used to not be able to get points on a turnover on a two-point conversion until like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Right, and it's not a one-point safety. You get 2 points. It's basically like you're stealing the 2 points that they're going for.
I actually, now that we're talking about this out loud, another thing I forgot in the midst of this, I think I've seen something that's only happened once in NFL history in person.
What's that?
The walk-off safety.
Ah, the walk-off safety.
I was in Miami, Cameron Wake versus the Bengals on Thursday Night Football on Halloween years ago. And Cameron Wake ended the game in overtime on a walk-off safety.
The thing about the walk-off safety is it's kind of like the walk-off balk in baseball. Is it that cool?
It was cool. Now, again, another night where I had a few too many in me. I went, for somebody with no rooting interest in a Bengal-Dolphin game, I went nuts for that.
So now that you've had a week or 5 days to kind of register in your mind that you saw that at a hockey game.
Yeah, it was the first one the Rangers scored a penalty shot at home in 10 years.
That's crazy. Shows how rare it is. Yeah. Is that the number one thing, or is there something else, maybe one of the things we described where you'd say, okay, that would be cooler?
I mean, so you're not counting it. To me, I still am going to lean on Doc Gooden's no-hitter.
Well, I think the no-hitter exceeds it by a lot because I think it's
that's
different.
Like the number one thing I think I've ever been in.
I completely agree. I think the no-hitter is better than all those things because it's a three-hour story arc. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of these things we're describing just happen, and there's also a chance you miss them. Like, for example, I'm going to go to the Nets game on Sunday night. If right before the second quarter ends, I say, hey, boys, I'm going to go take you to get some food, I may miss that last second heave.
You know what? You're right. So somebody was in the bathroom during Panarin's penalty shot.
100%.
That sucks.
The no-hitter has such a slow build to it. That you're going to be in your seat for that final inning. I think the no-hitter or the perfect game is the coolest thing one can be at.
Okay. So
it's a long, long accomplishment.
So if I'm excluding that, I think the penalty shot, scoring on the penalty shot jumps right up there. And for anybody, I had a couple of people that night on Twitter going, well, you've been at shootouts. It's the same thing. It's not the same thing.
I mean, it kind of is the same.
In the technical, like watching a play, it's the same thing, but that's a way to end a game that they've fabricated. In the moment, can you believe this guy got hooked on a breakaway, gets a penalty shot and scores? It's different than the shootout.
I understand it's different, but the result is kind of the same.
Not really. Not really.
It's the same idea.
One ends the game on a circus. The other is like a real in-the-moment play.
I get that, but it's the same thing. By the way, don't call it a circus because I'll never forget your dumbass opinion.
Well, I still stand by it.
That almost caused Howie Rose to just call up and rip you a new one, which is you think playoff games should end in shootouts.
I stand by that.
Yeah, that's probably the worst opinion you have.
Well, that's some really, really...
I understand. No, that's why I say that. I think of all the opinions you have, the worst sports opinion you have is that NHL playoff game should end in a shootout. Even worse than Lundqvist being better than Brutter.
Do you think that's the worst opinion I've ever had? I've had some bad opinions.
Yeah, because I think it desecrates the sport of hockey.
Desecrates,
yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm not even getting involved with that word.
No, you're desecrating the sport of hockey when you say that playoff games. It's like if Tommy, and God willing, he doesn't say this, but maybe he will, if he said, hey, I think playoff games should end with the Manfred man on second. It's the same thing. Ooh. It's a fabricated rule we created just to end regular season games. I don't like it, but I accept it.
Yeah.
If you ever put that in the postseason, you're blemishing the sport.
But here's where you're wrong in the shootout thing. We've seen Olympic medals. I mean, that's a real piece of hardware end on that.
So we've seen World Baseball Classics have the Manfred man. Does that make it okay?
I think it should exist after a few innings.
Disagree. You're wrong. Worst opinion you've ever had.
I mean, Tiki would have to be here to back me up, but don't in soccer, don't they do shootouts?
Yeah.
Like the World Cup final 4 years ago was decided in a shootout.
Right. Real championships end on that. It's not
That's
an outrageous
because
thing.
They would drop dead if they kept playing for another hour.
Same in hockey, though. Yeah. They're skating around forever. It's exhausting.
I didn't say play 5 minutes of 3-on-3 and then do the shootout. After two overtimes, it's time for a shootout.
And has anyone done it? They keep playing. They keep playing four overtime games, and it's fine. Why are we getting rid of that? Why would you get rid of one of the coolest things about playoff hockey?
Can we go to bed?
Well, then you go to bed. Just because I hate that argument. If you want to go to bed, you go to bed.
No, because then
you
I miss something.
Go to bed. No. Here's the problem.
No, because I don't want to. Well, I want to go to bed, but Sean, I can't go to bed.
This was the argument used about the Manfred man, and I remember I brought it up to Craig, and he got pissed. And I was like, Craig, here's why this rule's coming. He's like, why is that, Evan? I said because these sports writers want to go to sleep. They want to go to bed.
Yeah.
They don't want to be there all night. And what I say to them is, go to sleep.
Normal
I don't
people,
need you.
Normal people go to sleep, Evan.
Okay, well, we don't have to change the rules because writers want to go to bed.
What about writers? What about you bring your kid to the game? You fall asleep in your lap. At some point, can you get them home?
It's your decision to leave that game.
No, that's BS because you go to a game.
Why do we all
to
have to suffer because you want to take your kid home? If I have to take my kid home, I will live with the consequences. That's a decision I have to make, and I own that. But don't tell me what to do. And that's what you do when you say, oh, we got to get these games over with.
Do you
then
think,
you go to sleep.
Do you think it's better to watch a game end in four overtimes where half the building is still in it? Or is it better to end a game like in a theatrical way
four
where people are happy?
Four overtimes. It's the most logical, fairest way to determine a winner.
I also don't think the Manfred rule is the same comp as a shootout. I think the swing off is a better comp for the shootout.
I agree. I was just more saying it's a way to speed up the result of a game. And there's a reason it's not in the playoffs.
But isn't the counter that a shootout is exciting, isn't it? Like,
yes,
that's where I
and
would
the
stand
of
on
the
it.
Game is still there. It's goaltender versus offensive player making a move on the puck. The art of the game is still existing within the
it
shootout.
It is not fair to say, is this exciting? And if my answer is yes, see, it's great. That's not fair. There are plenty of things that are exciting. It doesn't mean it's the fairest way to determine a winner.
But
I admit that putting a guy on second base is more exciting. It just doesn't make it right.
But the games that end in like 3, 4, 5 overtimes, we're playing, I guess you could make this case in the NBA too, but in the NHL, is that really fair to end a game where it's just about everybody's just tired at that point on the ice?
Yes.
No,
yes.
You still want the skill to be involved in how you end the game.
For a guy who considers himself the hockey guy at this radio station, the absolute cojones of you over the last 72 hours.
Cojones?
Cojones.
Cojones.
Cojones. For you to say.
It's not Cojones Wagner.
Whatever. Two hockey opinions that this man has put out there on the airwaves. Number one, Lundqvist is better than Brodeur. Number two,
I think playoff games should end in shootouts.
After two overtimes.
You are not the hockey guy anymore.
This is why I said I'm the voice of the young hockey fan.
No, you're the voice of the idiot hockey fan. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Chris in New Rochelle. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Evan. How you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. What's up?
What's going on, folks? Two things real quick. I want to know, I'm a Mets fan. I'm a Jets fan. I'm a loser. They lose every year. Steve Cohen, ruined Christmas. He's the Grinch. And Woody Johnson is the nightmare before Christmas. Why do they put the team on the field like that? The Jets. Relevant. The Mets are a whole nother story. But my main question was, it's horrible. It's a disaster. But my main question is that I want to ask you, I have a big fantasy football. Ooh. I'm in the semifinals. I never win. These guys, all my buddies are busting my chops here. Who would you start? Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix, Brock Purdy, or CJ Stroud?
Jeez, how many quarterbacks do you have?
Is it 16 league?
Oh, it's a nightmare.
That's a lot of quarterbacks.
One quarterback
league. I don't know what to say. No, what happened was that people got their quarterbacks went down. I started picking up quarterbacks, and now I'm stuck with all
four. I got a couple of things just off the top of my head. Number one, I'm not starting Trevor Lawrence against the Bronco defense. Like that away, I would say, let me pause on that one. He's got Brock Purdy against the Colts. He's got Bo Nix against Jacksonville. And who's the fourth guy?
C.J. Stroud versus the Raiders at home.
C.J. Stroud.
And Stroud's starting to heat up a little bit, too, for those who paid attention.
That'd be my answer. But that's crazy. And he's not the first person to ask me that. Earlier today, one of our popular sales guys came to me and said, hey, I'm in the semis. Where do I start? So this is a very big weekend for fantasy football playoffs. I know nothing about it because my team got knocked out about 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I did not have a good fantasy season.
You know what scares me about starting C.J. Stroud, though? You just saw the Raiders basically roll over and die. Stroud could get pulled in that game in the third quarter.
Nah, it's a fair worry. It's a very fair worry. And this is like another reason why this part of the NFL season is awesome yet horrific at the exact same time. More so than ever, teams are openly just not trying anymore. And I don't mean the individual players, though some of the individual players aren't. But franchises are just saying, yeah, we'd rather not win. I mean, yeah. That's what's happening. Yep. And so forget that as just a football fan. That's bad enough. But when you're making these fantasy football decisions, you kind of have to factor that in as well.
No doubt.
Michael in Massapequa Park. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing? Quick question. What do you think the Jets have to give up to get the first overall pick in a trade?
So I've been thinking about this a lot because my focus as a Jet fan and as a football fan is now strictly on this number one pick. This is where Sean and Lugie have won out in the arguments. Like, I am not an idiot. I cannot argue with you that the Jets aren't better off losing. They are clearly better off losing. Does that mean I'm going to sit there on Sunday actively rooting against them? I don't think I have that in me.
You don't have to either, because guess what? No matter what you sit down and root for, you have nothing to do with what's going on in the field.
You're right. And none of us ever have anything to do with what's on the field, but you still have a rooting interest. You still have a passion. The way I look at it is this is all about the New York Football Giants. It really is. This is all about the Giants. The Giants control everything about our future. And it's a weird thing to say, but it's so true. The Giants play the Raiders a week from Sunday. That game is going to determine everything. Because here's my view on this. If the Giants win that game, the Las Vegas Raiders are destined to pick number one.
Yes.
They're not beating the Texans on Sunday. And even though the Chiefs are dead, I don't think they're beating the Chiefs week 18. You never know. Gardner Minshew's starting. We're talking about a dynastic team that has nothing to play for.
That's exactly. We haven't experienced that. And keep an eye on the Chiefs. They played the Titans this week, Raiders last week.
No, and maybe you could convince me that something weird would happen. But I'm going to just play the logic game that Raiders-Giants is going to determine who's picking number one.
It's probably the biggest game that we played between any of these locals since the Giant-Eagle playoff game.
I don't think you're wrong about that because it impacts us too.
It impacts both teams.
I would actually argue it impacts me more than it impacts you.
Oh, no, dude. It impacts the Giants in a big way because if they get a hole of picks.
Here's what I disagree with you. And I'll explain it very eloquently where you will say, okay, you're right. Here's my point to our last caller. If the Raiders lose to the Giants and pick number one overall, it's over. They're not trading that pick. It's not happening. Even though the Jets have, like, so much they can offer, once a team is set on picking a quarterback, there is no godfather offer that's going to change their mind. My proof of it, when you guys tried to get Drake May, the Patriots are never trading him.
Yeah.
They had already decided it. So I think if the Raiders pick number one overall, we can sit here and we could come up with fake trades. It's not happening.
No.
The Raiders are picking Mendoza, and that's it. And we have to go to plan B. If the Giants lose that game and they pick number one overall, the Giants are 1,000% trading that pick.
Yes.
They'll have the conversation I brought up about Mendoza. And then once the conversation is over, they will decide to trade the pick. You're trading it. And so
they better be.
And you're going to get a lot
either
of
that. No, they'll take Love, the Notre Dame running back.
Julian Love?
Yeah.
Julian Love?
Jeremiah Love. Jeremiah Love. Yeah. I apologize.
Julian
J&J.
Love is your former safety.
We have a Jordan Love, a Julian Love, and a Jeremiah Love.
You make the trade. And yes, you're going to get a great load of draft picks. And those draft picks are going to be stuff that you'll remember, but they're also not going to be a franchise quarterback. We're going to take a franchise quarterback. And that will have a bigger impact on the future of the New York Jets than any move you make on the future of the New York Giants. Hence why Sunday, or next Sunday, is a bigger game for the...
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The Jets than it is for the Giants, and it's not even close.
Okay. First of all, if that pick becomes the Herschel Walker trade for the Giants, how could he say it doesn't have an impact?
Because it's not going to be the Herschel Walker trade, because you'll probably take at least one Evan Neal. At least one.
Don't even scare me like that. And just to prove to you
who's your GM, Sean?
Who's our GM?
Yeah, who's going to be making those picks?
We don't know.
It's going to probably be Joe Shane, right?
Is it?
I don't know.
If we have the number one overall pick, it better not be Joe
Shane. Well, okay. I don't think it should be Joe Shane either, but the odds are probably a little bit further that it will be. All I'm saying is, yes, you'll get great draft picks, and maybe you'll do great stuff with it, and maybe you won't. Either way, your future is going to be determined by Jackson Dart and who your head coach is. My future is going to be determined by the quarterback. It is a bigger deal for the Jets. And so to answer our last caller's question on what they're going to have to give up, if it's the Raiders, it's dead upon arrival. If it's the Giants, let's talk shop.
Oh, my God. It just dawned on me. There is my worst nightmare awaiting me the day after that Raider game. You're off. It's me and Tiki doing the show. If the Giants win that game and I'm upset because I wanted the number one overall pick, Tiki is going to sit here for 4 hours and kill me and tell me how important it was for Jackson Dart to win that game and have culture.
That's right.
Are you in, Tommy?
Nope. Enjoy that.
Oh,
God. I'll post a video agreeing with you, and then he'll yell at you.
Oh, and as much as that's going to bother you, it's all going to bother me more. Because it impacts the Jets more than it impacts the Giants. It does.
I'm screwed that day.
I'm right about this.
Maybe the Giants should listen to me and start Russell Wilson in that game so everybody's happy. And that way Sean doesn't have to get yelled at.
But do you agree that the Raiders are not a team that's going to make a deal? Like, the closer we get to this inevitability.
They need, especially in a division with Mahomes and Herbert, they can't fool around anymore. They get the number one overall pick, and Mendoza's the crown jewel. They're not going to screw around.
And I don't think it matters how much the Jets could offer. Like, we could sit here all day and say, but they could offer this, and they could offer that.
No.
First of all, there's a line in the sand in which you say, we're not going to do it. And then also, if you believe in the quarterback, there's also your line in the sand in which you say, it doesn't matter what you give us.
But also, to further the point of why I think it's such a big deal for the Giants, because that Cole's original point is, what would you trade for it? If the Giants are in that spot, the Raiders are also going to be calling the Giants about what to give up. Then it becomes, well, you know, we have this point system, but then it's a real bidding war. And the Giants, if they have two really hungry teams, what could they squeeze out of both franchises?
I think what you're forgetting about, and obviously this has a lot to do with how the Jets finished the season, is that right now, just to get you in the weeds on this, the strength of schedule is tiebreakers in the draft order when a team has the same record. In a world in which the Raiders are winning and the Jets continue to lose, they would finish with the same record. As of right now, the Raiders' strength of schedule is 548 winning percentage, and the Jets is 536.
So you can get ahead of the Raiders.
Which means the Jets are slightly ahead of the Raiders. Now, that's no guarantee, because obviously based on the results of the last 3 weeks, that number can change, and it's close enough where things can change. Same with the Giants. The Giants' strength of schedule is 536. The Jets are 536. The Raiders are 548. So it's all very, very close.
But what's to stop the Giants from not taking more from the Raiders, though, just because they fall behind the Jets in the draft pick?
Because they can't offer more than the Jets. That's what you're missing. The advantage the Raiders would have is if they're picking two or three ahead of the Jets, where there's just a player you identify and you say, we want this player so badly, we matter more on that. You got to remember, the Jets have packages that no one can match.
You're right. But then you got to give up those picks to make the package.
Right, but what can the Raiders offer?
Okay, I guess my point would be...
You've already given yourself away. I know what's going on here.
What?
You actually don't want to make a trade with the Jets.
No. You're actually misunderstanding.
You don't. You're afraid.
I want my...
Your dad wants to make a trade with the Jets. You're afraid.
I'm actually not afraid, Evan. What I'm trying to make the case for is I want every one of those first-round picks the next 2 years. I don't just want to make a swap and go, well, here's that Colt pick just because we're picking higher than the Raiders. That's the point I'm trying to get
at. I know, but what do the Raiders have in the 2026 draft arsenal that's so much more...
Look, this is what I'm saying, though. The Raiders, if they're going to simply do a pick swap and give next year's one and another two, like if that's the package the Jets are looking to give, I need extra ones. You know what I mean?
They've got their original first rounder and they've got additional... I'm looking at what they have, to be honest with you.
My point is...
They don't have much. They have their two, their three. They've got an extra four.
Okay.
A five. Yeah, they're not loaded.
So then
I'm not afraid.
So then my point is...
Stop talking trash.
At a bare minimum, we're going to swap ones and we're getting an extra one out of you this year and your one next year,
no,
correct?
No, we don't have to offer that.
Why not? Because the Raiders can offer that exact thing.
They could, but what if they don't? And we already have an extra one in this year's draft.
See, you're trying to get it where you don't have to give up as much as you're going to have to
give up. We don't have to give up unless we have to give up. Does that make sense?
We're going to make you have to give up.
You can't.
Little New York State tax.
I know, but you can't make it unless the Raiders are able to offer something that beats what we have. And so really all they have is, okay, we'll give you our future number one.
All right.
The Jets have two number ones next year they could offer. They also have an extra number one this year.
And here come the Rams with multiple ones.
Yeah, but you are admitting, without admitting, there's a Jets tax.
Well, why shouldn't it be?
Is there a Jets tax?
I think there should be.
Wow. I thought you would just take the best offer possible.
No. If I got to stare and look at your franchise quarterback in this town, we got a tax. Let's
go. That's fair enough. Do you have a Jets tax, Tommy?
I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, I want a lot of your picks, but I don't view it as a Jet tax. I view it as I want a lot of picks because I'm sitting on a gold mine.
I kind of agree on the same thing.
No, you don't. You just said there's a Jet tax.
The Jet tax is you have the extra picks. Now give them to
now. But I will say this, though. If Mendoza ends up being better than Dart...
I mean, that's a tough one to live down.
It is a tough one to live down. No, it is. No, it's not a no biggie. No, that's...
If Mendoza's better than Dart and you just traded the rights to him to me?
Unless
Dart's like, no, it's maybe, close. It's got to be close.
Like, yeah, what are we talking here? Mahomes Allen?
If they're both top 10 quarterbacks and we're competing for Super Bowls and we could agree Mendoza's better, then what the hell
There's a big difference between the second best quarterback and the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, though. They have to both be top five.
I agree with that.
Which I think Dart is. Do we think Mendoza will be that? Because these picks might not amount to anything. By the way, I'm on board with doing this, but there's the risk of that, where Mendoza ends up being great and the picks amounted to nothing.
You know what the beautiful part of this is? We potentially could have this argument for the next 3 months.
I know. Let's go Raiders. Let's all come together.
And did the Cowboys...
Let's go Raiders.
Are the Cowboys officially eliminated yet? We need them to have something to play for, too, in that
they
final
are
game.
Not officially eliminated, but they're basically eliminated. If I'm not mistaken, they need to run the table, and they would need the Eagles to lose their final three games, and that's the only way that could happen. Dallas ends the season with the Chargers, the Commanders, and the Giants. The Eagles play the Commanders, the Bills, and the Commanders.
Are we going to have Joe Milton playing against the Giants that last game?
I guess it's on the table.
That's Tiki Super Bowl.
So, where I live, I have no problem saying it. Overall, it's called the town of Islip. All of our pails are these crane like things. They drive the truck, they hit a button, and my whole pail dumps.
Okay, same thing where I live. I still don't see the issue. You still tip the sanitation driver.
Hold on, it's like tipping the waiter at a buffet.
No, it's not.
What are they doing? They're pressing a button. They're not getting out and doing the nitty gritty.
They're still driving to your neighborhood.
That's their job.
Well, a lot of people have jobs. You still tip them around the holidays.
You tip them.
Tommy has a job. I tip them around the holidays.
The sanitation guys back in the day got tipped because they did the dirty work. They had to get off of that truck at 4 in the morning. They would pick up the pails with their hands and move the muscles. Now it's like AI is doing the garbage.
See, you were really trying to create enemies everywhere.
No, I'm not, because I tip the mailman really well. You're still drudging out there every day, walking.
I get that, but you got to tip sanitation. Recycling, definitely, too, because they are doing the nitty-gritty, where they get outside and they get the plastic and the paper.
You're still recycling in 2025?
Absolutely. I think it's a rule, a law where I live.
I'm kidding.
Oh. Well, but you do have to tip sanitation. I mean, you just tip everybody. What I couldn't figure out, and I was racking my brain after I put all these tips together, is do we have to get each other stuff, or are we past that?
I kind of assume we were past that.
Okay, good. Because I didn't get you anything.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I don't think Tommy needs anything. He's got a whole new job. He's got a raise coming. So, good for him.
We've been in this thing 3 years.
Well, I still need that tip around the holidays.
What tip?
The tip.
The tip?
The tip that you give me every year around the holidays for all the hard work.
Well, I figured I'm not going to give that to you this year for two reasons. Number one.
It was a tough fantasy football year for me, though.
Number one, you're moving on to another job, and you're going to make more money, so you don't need my tip. And I'm already giving you, not to get behind the glass on this, but I'll be honest, I'm already going to give you a tip because we had a nice little ratings book, so you'll probably get some kind of bonus off that. But you're not going to get two bonuses. You get one bonus. That's it, and you move on.
Oh, I wasn't asking for two. I was just asking for the one for the year we had.
No, that's different. Okay. That occurred and that happened.
Just to back up.
I don't know how much credit you deserve in that, but nevertheless.
Are you planning on doing this now that you're a big boy next year for your producer?
Well, I don't think they have ratings at night, so.
That's why? What about all the work they're going to put in?
I'll certainly take Connor out for a nice a hamburger. And a
I expect a huge wad of cash. Yeah. A huge wad of cash.
Soft drink of choice, Connor.
Yeah. Look, we spend enough money in Love Wars. I feel good saying we go to enough games together. We buy each other beers. I don't think we need to buy each other gifts.
Good. I mean, because the way I look at gifts, and I've mentioned this before with Tiki, if I see something that I know Sean would like, or Tiki would like, or my mom would like, or my dad would like, I just get them the gift.
I think that's great.
I don't wait for their birthdays or their holidays. Now, the plus of that is sometimes you may get a random gift from me in May, but the negative is sometimes you get nothing for Christmas or your birthday.
Evan, I would never expect anything from you. You've taken me to more than enough games that you've paid for with your season tickets.
I'm just making sure because I don't want to be like a bad guy. I wanted to know what the etiquette was so I don't screw it up.
What was that? What was that? What did you just say there? I see right through what Sean just did.
What did
you
do?
What did I do?
So I'm sitting here hat in hand going, you know, I still would like my tip around the holidays. I didn't win any of my fantasy football playoffs. We're getting a cat in February. You know, times are, you know, I need some money. Sean goes, I don't need a gift from you, Evan. You've taken me to enough games, meaning Lou Gower gets enough freebies from Evan, but he's still looking for more. So I look like a schnorrer. Like a gavone. Like, I want more stuff from him.
Dude, I enjoy going to games. It's part of the reason I still love, like, doing this kind of work. Evan will take me in the Mets seats. The Nets, he just asked me the other night to go to the game. I appreciate that. To me, that is more than enough than what are you going to give me? Another thing of coasters? Like, I'm good.
That's a good point. I mean, but what he is saying, and you're kind of right, Tommy, is why do you keep begging for more? Don't you already get enough?
Pay me now, or it's time to part ways.
And are you getting this night opportunity if not for all Evan's done for you?
That's a great point. Jeez, you're on fire today.
He's put you in a position here. He's allowed you to grow your wings, grow your on-air ability.
Okay, here's my counter. So since I've gotten this opportunity, I've been still doing my job at a professional level. I don't complain. I never bitch. I never bellyache about any of the work Evan gives me. I do with a smile.
You're
right. You could say that's my job.
No, but
I am not big-timing anybody, so, you know. Couple of shekels. I think that's fair for the year that I've put in.
Okay, so you worry about you. I'm just worried about me.
No, but you take the passive-aggressive things that you say deflect back on me.
I'm so happy because, like, if... I don't know how to explain this.
Yeah, go for it.
Like, if we didn't have some, like, nice success in this latest book where I could give him a tip or a bonus, I wouldn't have given him anything. And so I'm glad that happened because this would be such an uncomfortable parting of ways that I would just be like, no, I'm not giving you anything. I've given you enough. But luckily, I am giving him something, but it's really just related to that and not anything else.
But you just said that you tip everybody, the sanitation guy, the mailman.
Right.
So what if they did, like, I don't understand why I wouldn't have got tipped regardless.
You think you're the garbage man for Evan?
No, but I'm doing a job and I'm doing a service for Evan throughout the year.
Here's what I know. It's going to end well because you're going to get a tip, okay? It's all good. But Sean's best point he made during this exchange is, how are you going to treat your producers. I feel like I've treated you very well for many years. I think I treated you well from others. I don't remember a certain ex-partner giving you bonuses and tips the way I did. So I just hope you pay it forward. That's all I ask. And really, that benefits Connor and
well,
others.
Well, I have
pay it forward,
I have three producers, technically.
Then you pay it forward with all of them. That's all right. I'll say
we're
to
all
you.
Going out on the town. But okay. It's a split, though. NYS. We split the bill.
It's not a split.
Spin the bottle. Whoever it lands on has to pick up
Tommy,
the tab.
Tommy, I took care of you, Tommy. And now you take care of the future.
Tommy, just take them to Wendy's, and you pick up the bill. That's the end of it.
That's it?
You know?
That's it. That's all you got to do. Or you know what? I'll give you Nick tickets one night. And just buy him food. That's all you have to do.
I mean, Tommy, I can go for a new Xbox. Mine's a little bit on the fritz. The new Madden would be nice, too.
They bought me a Coke.
Let's go to Steve in Islip. What's up, Steve? Hello, Steve.
I agree with Tommy. Hi. What's up, guys?
What's up?
I agree with Tommy. I'm also from the town of Islip.
That was Sean,
zero...
not Tommy. That was Sean, not Tommy.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Sean. Mara,
no, biggie.
My bad. I have zero interaction with those garbage men all year other than me putting my pail out in the morning and picking it up in the afternoon. And then, like, 3 weeks before Christmas, I get a holiday card from them. Like, we're friends, you know, like, you're friendly garbage men. And, like, we all know what you want. You want a tip. But like for what? They're not doing anything. Like, where does it end? I start tipping for them. Then I got to start tipping for the mailman for, like, putting my mail in a box. Like, where does it end?
I'm going to give you some advice, Steve. I get it. You can Al Dukes this thing all day and kind of question, like, when does it end? Why do I tip this person? It's like going to a bar, and I learned this at a very young age. As soon as I got my ID, I learned this lesson. The guy who I worked with over at Sirius said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get that first drink, and you're going to leave a massive tip. And I said, really? Why do you do that? And he said, because the service you're going to get the rest of the night.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally.
so unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Is gonna be impeccable.
Right.
And so I did it. I got my one beer. I left like $30, like an absurd amount of money for an $8 beer. And the rest of the night, I was king. So my advice to Steve is you could sit here all day. You could call up Sports Talk Radio and say, why am I tipping you? You're not my friend. If you want them to not accidentally skip your home.
Well, that's
absurd. If you want them to be extra nice when you leave garbage, maybe in not the most legal way because it's coming out of your can, then tip them right and keep them happy. That's all I'll say.
That's
you can
job.
Fight it. It's but you know what? I agree.
You could play this it's your job game all day.
If you want good service and you want to be taken care of, like I said to Tommy, play it fair. Play it. What did I say?
Pay it forward.
Pay it forward. Thank you.
Again,
pay it forward, bro.
I stress our neighborhood is one with the crane. There's nothing they could do that they can't do their job.
You didn't listen to anything I
said. I did, but
you went right back to your point.
No, because there's no way to enhance the service. There's already a machine doing the service.
Okay, on that day in which you overflowed your garbage too much, and technically, if you read the bylaws of your town, you broke a rule, and they happen to skip you that week, don't complain about it. They just followed the rules instead of helping you out. So I'm just working. Let's go to Travis in the Bronx. Hey, Travis.
Gentlemen, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Sean.
Uh-huh.
I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay. You sure you don't have a bone to pick with Tommy?
No. Sean is the one who said I believe Sean was the one who said it. It's like AI picks up the garbage.
No, that was Tommy.
I'm a sanitation worker. Tommy, I'm a sanitation worker for the city.
Well, Travis, it was actually Travis. Sean's pulling your leg. This is Tommy. Sean is the one that is a jerk. I'm the one that's begging for tips from Evan. Sean's the one not tipping sanitation.
So how does AI pick up the garbage, Sean?
Well, whoever presses the button for the crane.
Well, we don't have those. Okay. Where do you live?
Town of Islip. If I lived where you were and everybody got off the truck and pulled the pails, absolutely I'd tip you.
What time do you wake up every day?
Well, that's going to change. right now, whenever my kids wake me up, probably about 7:30.
Okay. I wake up at 3:20 every day.
Okay. And?
And physical manual labor.
Again, if I was in your neighborhood, Travis, I would tip you because you're doing the manual labor.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, I apologize for
arrogant buffoons like Sean Morash and Tommy Lugo.
A selfish jerk.
My garbage man, it's not their fault. They got the easy route. They don't got to do anything.
Randy is calling from Brooklyn. Hey, Randy.
Guys, happy holidays. Woo! What's going on?
Happy holidays, sir. What's up?
All right. Town of Hempstead guy over here. Question for you about tipping. My wife and I have been going back and forth this for like the past few years. You have the garbage guy, you have the sanitation guy, and then you have the recycling. Do you tip sanitation and recycling or just sanitation because both guys are in the same garage?
See, the way I approach it, and I'm not telling you this is the right answer, but the way I've approached it every year is the week before Christmas, which is now. The last time they're going to come, I wait. I wait by my window. I wait and I stare. And as soon as the truck pulls up to get my garbage, I run out with envelopes. And I always have extras just in case. And however many people are there, I give them the envelopes. They got some cash. They got a card. And I shake their hand. Same thing with the recycling, which tends to be on Friday. So I've got an old game plan for tomorrow. I'm going to stare out the window and I'm going to run out there. And I tip any human that is driving by my house. Now, if it happens to be someone who doesn't usually come by my house, good for them.
Shouldn't have called out that day.
I mean, and if it doesn't get to somebody who happened to take that day off, again, I did what I could. And I'm just hoping they're going to divvy up the money as fairly as they can.
Now, the only thing I would say is they're different people.
Yes.
I wouldn't even know what my garbage men look like, first of all. I was operating the assumption when they come for the recyclables, that's the same dude that was there 2 days earlier for the garbage.
See, here's the thing you don't realize, all right? My garbage guy, he knows exactly who I am. right?
Okay.
He's made sports comments to me. So
how are you seeing this guy enough that he's seen you?
I take my kids to school. Sometimes it's right around the same time.
Why would you come at like 5:30 in the morning?
No, not for me. Mine's more like the sevens,
okay.
I would say.
Okay.
Sometimes the recycling comes a lot earlier. And so they know who I am. They know who you are. And if you're going to continue to be some kind of cheap bastard in which you're like, AI does your job, I'm not tipping you. Dude, look what your reputation's going to be.
My reputation's great in the neighborhood. I know my mailman has like a 7-big block radius, and I know for a fact I tip him the most money because I asked him. I asked him what the biggest tip he got was. He told me, and I tip that plus $1 every
look
year.
Look at you.
Every year.
Look, that's an ego move.
Totally.
Speaking of ego, Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, had an interesting discussion with the local Pittsburgh media the other day that I found fascinating. So he was talking about the roster and how so many of the guys on the roster are cast-offs, putting them over as, hey, here are guys that were casted off, and look what they're doing. Take a listen to Aaron Rodgers waxing poetic about some of his teammates.
There's some cast-offs if you look at our roster, which it makes it really special. You know, Kenny Gainwell signed a next-to-nothing contract. Connor Hayward, an afterthought, had a touchdown run. Marquez been on a couple teams. Adam Thielen got cut. Samuel was on the street for a long time. So, says a lot about the character of the guys we brought in.
Beautiful. I mean, there's nothing to disagree with.
Speaking of garbage men.
The logical follow-up would be, what about you?
Uh-huh.
Are you a cast-off?
Consider yourself one of those cast-offs, too?
No, I'm not a cast-off.
And you can tell he was not happy with that.
He is, though.
I know he is.
Just because you're more accomplishing over the whole thing doesn't make you not a cast-off.
What's funny to me is it was beautiful what he was saying. Like, there was nothing wrong with it. He was being a really good teammate about, hey, these guys are cast-offs. They fought back. It's so easy to say, and I'm one of them. And instead, he took it almost as offensive to even suggest I'm one. Meanwhile, you just spent 30 seconds talking about the beautiful cast-offs of this franchise.
And do you know how big a cast-off you got to be for the Jets to have casted you off, too, pal?
I know.
Yeah, a little ego check.
And think about it. He wasn't just casted off by the Jets. The
Packers.
It was first Green Bay, then it was the Jets.
Yeah.
So if Aaron was going to say, no, I'm not a cast-off, it was only the... No, both franchises casted you off.
Yes. And take pride in that, by the way.
Well, especially when you just did it to describe your teammates in a beautiful way.
They're looking at you going, wait a minute, you think you're that much more important than us?
I mean, he screwed up that whole thing to me.
He did.
Because it started off so beautiful, like, hey, look at my teammates, the cast-offs, it's great. And then when he's asked, well, what about you? Listen to that response.
What a jerk move.
I'm not a cast-off.
What a jerk
move. No, I'm not a cast-off.
That cracked me up. Aaron Rodgers, don't you love him?
You know what? You should. Craig's on tomorrow. You should ask Craig if he considers himself a cast-off.
No, I'm not a cast-off.
Well, the first time, yes, he was casted off, but obviously there were other reasons for that. The second time, he left on his own. But, like, when you leave on your own, you're not a cast-off.
But is he a Fox cast-off?
A Fox cast-off. I guess so, yeah.
Why you run that by play by him? You know what? I'm like, Tommy, you ask him that.
No, I'm good on that one. Thanks. Appreciate
more interested in the show name. That's what I can't wait to dive into. Let's go to Tim in Rockville Center. What's up, Tim?
What's up, guys? How you doing? I want to talk about Aaron Glenn and... coming from a perspective of an older Jet fan.
Yeah.
And, Evan, I'd love you to do a poll and ask, because I very rarely do we talk about the business side and what pressure is on Woody. Mm-hmm. I'd love you to ask a Twitter poll of how many fans are going to renew their season tickets next year. Most people I know, I'm a season ticket holder, we're out. We're not doing this anymore. There's no way. And even bigger than that, the sponsors, the corporate sponsors, how do they keep funneling money and sponsoring an organization that continues to fail? And I don't see where Aaron Glenn is, gun to my head, he's going to pull them out of this. We'll give them next year, and I think we're going to get a little bit more of the same, maybe a few more wins. It's not Aaron's fault that there's 15 years of a burden hanging over him, but you could do a lot better than he's done. There's no signature moment this season. It looks like we've gotten to a point where, with other Jet coaches in the past, and you can go through Walton, Kotite, Coslett, Gase, where you just know there's no coming back from this.
Let me ask you a question. I want to follow up your point with a very direct question about season tickets and renewing.
Yeah.
What would the Jets have to do? Because I'm assuming you're not renewing. What would you have to do to say, oh, my God, I got to go run and renew my season tickets or go get season tickets?
I need a coach that's been there before.
whoever that is, you know, I don't know. I would take Belichick. I know we were talking about that.
Well, no, that's a great question. So if they fired Glenn after 1 year and they announced Bill Belichick is going to come run the New York Jets, you would renew your... Okay. I appreciate the answer. So here's the depressing thing for you, because it's a great point. I mean, I think he's right. I think a lot of Jet fans are not renewing their season tickets. I have heard it. I have seen it. I've talked to people about it. I'm going to give you a revenue breakdown of the National Football League and how franchises make their money. And this is what's going to depress you. 62% of revenue comes from national revenue, which has nothing to do with season tickets and nothing to do with how the Jets are doing.
That's TV packages and whatnot.
That's everything. But yes, the TV deals. Only 19% of the revenue on average for an NFL team comes from tickets, from seating, from suites, from season tickets. 19%. Now,
that's
obviously
actually bigger than I would have thought.
It's a lot smaller than all the other sports.
No doubt about it.
And it also just doesn't impact you financially in the way it would if this was Major League Baseball. We're in Major League Baseball. This is a big deal to Steve Cohen. If all of a sudden Met fans said, yeah, we're not renewing in mass, and I'm not even saying that's happening, it would make a greater impact. If all of a sudden basketball fans said, we are not renewing to the New York Knicks, why would you do that? They have a chance to win a title. I'm just using them as an example. Yeah. That would just have a greater impact than it does in the NFL. So I get it, and I feel for you, because it sucks. And you think it can send a message. I don't think it sends a message. Like, MetLife Stadium has been a ghost town this season. It was a ghost town for the Giants last week, too. Oh. It's not just the Jets. And I just don't think it resonates with Woody and John Mara in the way we hope, because they're making money fist over fist.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the term?
Fist over fist? Hand over fist.
I am setting records this week. My Idiots with Idioms is off the charts.
So much so that we're just over it, I think, at this point. What do you say? Is that, like, I'm not even acknowledging them anymore.
No, you're right. We'll acknowledge it on Friday when we have 100 that Tiki has to go through. But I think that's kind of the negative. Like, I totally get the point, but I don't think the in-mass non-renewals of Jet season tickets is going to change anything. And I also disagree with our last call. I respect that he would renew for Belichick. I don't think a lot of people would. I think what would cause people to buy Jet tickets and renew is winning. And they're a ways away from that. They got a long way to go.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.